This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cruising along here on Live Bet Saturday. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for making us a part of your day, however you may be doing it. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSiN Watch app. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Will Hill at Not The Will Hill over on X at Dustin Sweetelson for me. And of course, at VSiN Live for everything going on with the channel. And just a reminder that every single show across the network at some point after will be available wherever you get your podcast for download. So don't forget that. Wherever you get your podcast, you can catch Follow the Money, you can catch A Numbers Game, and of course, you can catch this show, Live Bet Saturday, after we're done off the air, where you can pick up some of Will's nuggets that he teaches you about betting. Do you ever think of yourself as a teacher?
I already know this. I listen to the podcast. I download this stuff. Why are you telling? Oh, you're telling the audience.
No, there's other people listening. It's not just you and me right now.
You were lecturing me.
I know. We have such an intimate relationship. Sometimes you forget that there's an audience out there. And it's not just you and me hanging out and watching sports. But do you ever feel like a teacher? I feel like when you and I sit together, and I'm not just blowing smoke, I usually learn something that I applied the next time I'm betting, like attacking the first five plus a half market versus the laying a half run. A while back with NFL, you and I had a run with live betting NFL games.
Oh,
that was
great.
Freaking wild. I think we probably hit like two or three at like 16 to one or greater, or ended up having an opportunity to hedge like 20 to one tickets. It was a wild run where you and I would just do the vibe check in game, like, is this enough to get in? We'd be like, yep, click, boom. But do you feel like a teacher? Do you feel like someone who's been a degen as long as you have, that you're now teaching the youth how to do this?
Yes, I think that's part of our job on the air, is to be teachers. But our job is better is just to also be students. You have to always be learning, to just sit here and say, oh, I've learned everything I need to know. Now I'm just going to, I'm ready to, dominate betting. You have to always be learning, always be evolving. I listen to some of the guys that come on the network. Steve Fezzik, a guy you've had on other shows. If you're not listening to him when betting talk comes on, you're just doing yourself a disservice, because just learning constantly. There's all different people to learn from too, different sports, different methods. So yeah, we do come off as teachers sometimes, just looking to play these different angles, and it's based on betting our whole lives. But you have to always be a student as well.
Yeah, and sometimes the best way to learn from me is not through teaching. It's just doing the opposite of what I do when I'm cold.
Right.
That's what I'd say. Look, there's a lot happening in Major League Baseball right now. It's 9-0 Rays on top of the Orioles, and we still got a few innings to go there. Top of the seventh, as there was just an out recorded by Cedric Mullins. Orioles wearing the orange unis. I think the Orioles don't get enough respect in like the uniform discussion.
Okay.
Great color scheme. I like the tri-colored hat. And they have a bunch of good variations for the unis. And unfortunately for them, that's all they have going for them at the moment. They're down 9-1 at home to Tampa Bay. As I mentioned before we went to the last break, Seattle tied things up in Texas 2-2, sixth inning. Want to get you a live number here. And Seattle minus 102, minus 128 with Texas. The Rangers have had some bullpen issues this year. If I was going to do anything, I'd double down on our Seattle bet and believe that their bullpen will figure things out at the end, just because they have a massive edge at closer as well with Munoz. So that's the way I look there.
Munoz, how many did he go last night? Do you have the usage in front of me? I had it pulled up, handicap in this game. But that's another thing that's good if you're betting baseball. That's why a lot of times I like to stick the first five, because I don't want to handicap the bullpens. I don't want to see who's been used, who's pitched to out of the last three. I'd rather just handicap the starting pitchers, and I'll save some bad beats. I'll just save headaches, and I'll save time in the handicapping. What do you got?
Munoz went an inning last night, and he only threw 11 pitches. So if they really need him, he could be available. Maybe they save him for Sunday. He hadn't pitched since Tuesday prior to that.
Oh, so he's good. So
yeah,
he's available.
He should be good. But yeah, I like Seattle. I think Seattle comes back in that division. I mean, I've been wrong about the Astros all year long. Let me get the division price right now. But Seattle can only get healthier from a pitching perspective.
Yeah.
Like what they had to deal with in the first half, Bryce Miller down, George Kirby didn't start the year, right? They had so many injuries to these arms. It's like, they're only going to get, you assume I'm making a big assumption. They're going to get healthier throughout the year. And I like Houston. Don't get me wrong. I think they're fine, but I don't know if they have the pitching depth. I don't know if they have the offensive depth. They've lost a lot of key guys from that lineup over the last couple of years. I'm not so sure Seattle can't come back. Right now, you have to lay 370 with the Astros, almost 4-1, plus 390 if you like the Mariners. I don't think the Mariners are out of this, man. And I think Jerry Dipoto may be a guy who's been aggressive before with trades. he may have an opportunity to add a bat here during the season at the deadline that could make a difference for them.
Yeah, and the Astros have really just strung together close win after close win. They were able to sweep the Phillies, scoring 5 runs in 3 games, and they are a candidate here to lead June in wins. I don't have the standing in front of me, but I believe they enter the day leading in wins. So anyone that took long shot prices on, you know, whoever is just frustrated by these one-run wins. I agree. Fading Houston and thinking that there's some regression coming is possibly, you have to worry that, you know, Hunter Brown is basically an automatic win every 5 days. He has been incredible. That's a guy who, in the Cy Young conversation for sure, because he's been awesome, flat out awesome. I just feel like with Seattle, we're always waiting. Last year, 2 years ago, three. It just feels like they're one of these teams. I'm trying to think of who's a comparison in other sports. I don't know. The Chargers, it just feels like they could do it. Here we go. This is their time. And it just feels like they never deliver. I understand the pitching injuries is a valid excuse. It's a legitimate reason. I don't know. Do you get the same sense too, where we're always just waiting for Seattle to come around and they're sleeping in a lot of the time?
No, they need hitting. They've needed hitting for years.
Yeah.
They're in that last wild card spot though right now. Maybe the better bet is them to win the American League at 11-1.
Good point.
Because
they get in and then their pitching can.
Yeah. That's the thing. If their pitching's hot rolling into October,
yes,
that might be the better play than win the division, because 11-1 is a nice number to win that. I do have breaking news for you, Will Hill. I can report via the Utah Jazz Twitter account, Ace Bailey has landed in Salt Lake City. The talk was Ace Bailey selected 5th overall by the Utah Jazz, that he was going to hold out and did not want to go to Utah. There was a few other teams on his list. I see him currently off the PJ, off that private jet, and he is currently in Utah. What did you make of that whole situation? I think the big picture, Will, it's a kid, 19, getting some really bad advice about making demands, yeah, about where he wants to go. I do understand there's probably aspects of being a kid going to Utah, being from the East Coast, where it's a complete culture shock for a kid like Ace Bailey. But in the end, I think he's doing the right thing by showing up and doing what he needs to do with the Jazz.
I would agree. Showing up to your NBA job to make millions of dollars when your rookie is the right thing to do. That's probably a smart play. I did find the humor in, you know, all of his demands, all of his preference. I want to go here. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to work out for the Sixers. I'm not going to show up for dinners. How does that work out? Welcome to Salt Lake City, kid. I thought that was humorous. I don't know his. You're not a free agent, dude. I mean, you gotta just play where you're drafted. Otherwise, it's been very strange.
If you want to play in the NBA, you have to play by the NBA's rules, which means you go through the draft process and any team can select you. Unfortunately for you, you're going to Utah. I don't know what to tell you. That's why they pay you millions.
He didn't want to go to Philly. He didn't want to go to Utah. Where did he want to? I mean, I can understand if one place. I'm not going to, whatever. I don't like the organization. I don't like my role. There's just one place I don't want it. We've seen Kobe wanted to go to the Lakers. So famously out of high school, he wouldn't work out for the Nets and the Hornets and all these teams after. Like, yeah, we knew he was probably going to be pretty good, but he wouldn't work out for us. He would purposely almost tanked his draft stock and gave us a hard time. So, you know, we didn't pull the trigger on him. I think Calipari had one of those picks right before the Lakers with Kobe. And, they went with Kerry Kittles because Kobe gave him a hard time during the interview process, the draft process. So I get it, but I just don't know what he wants. I mean, I guess he wanted a bigger role and Philly wouldn't give him shots, but you can't have like 8 teams on your list that you don't want to go to. Very bizarre.
No, and he's the 3rd shot on the board to be rookie of the year. +950, Cooper Flagg, your favorite. I believe this opened around 4-1, was 2-1 yesterday, now down to 185. So that means money's coming on other guys in the market. Dylan Harper, #2 on the board at 9-1. Ace Bailey, +950. Trey Johnson, 10-1. VJ Edgecombe, 25-1. Go to VSiN.com. You can look at all the Rookie of the Year articles that we have posted currently right now. There are a few that jumped out to me here, Will, that I think are playable based on situation. I always like to look later in the draft where teams that are solid or have more pieces around them that add guys that could potentially contribute right away. And the first one is Kasperis Jokionis. I always butcher the last name. The kid out of Illinois, 50-1. Going to Miami is a good spot for him. I think he can play on the ball. He'll play off the ball. He's better as a point guard. 6'6", playmaker, diverse skill set. He has a pretty high ceiling. He averaged 15 a game in the Big Ten, 5.7 boards, 4.7 assists, 1.6 threes. And Miami has a lot of needs. especially in that backcourt. I think he'll get an opportunity to play a lot. And you look at the last two rookies the Heat have selected, Khalil Ware ended up playing a lot for them last year, averaged 9 and 7. And the year before that, Jaime Jaquez averaged almost 12 points a game. They're not afraid to play a rookie if they can contribute right away. I think it's a good situation with Eric Spoelstra being the coach he is. 50-1 on Jakionis makes a lot of sense.
I don't mind it. 50-1, why not take a shot? I do feel like with the NBA Rookie of the Year, it's usually chalk. It's usually one of the guys near the top. They, you know, top of the draft. They go to a bad team. They put up a bunch of stats, and winning isn't held against them. And this is going to be a unique situation because Flagg's going to go to a team that's going to be pretty good. So we'll see what his stats look like. So maybe there's an opportunity. But I just feel like in general, this is usually, you know, a guy that's the Rookie of the Year goes to a guy that's picked in the top, you know, two or three, if not, you know, top five, something like that.
Yeah, Jakionis. That's how you say the name. Jakionis. Also, I think Con Knepel.
You nailed it. You got it.
Con Knepel, yeah. 40-1 with Charlotte. He just has to shoot. That's it. I think that makes sense. And the last one, Jace Richardson's 100-1. Orlando is so desperate for guards who can score. He's a little undersized, but I think he's going to be able to score right away in the league. He'll come off the bench. It's 100-1 for a reason, but there's a skill set there that I think does translate. Hey, do you need a proxy? Well, you can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service has helped clients win over $9.3 million over the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. More to come when it comes to baseball, plus a preview of tonight's Major League Baseball action. That's next on Live Bet Saturday.
Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thanks for tuning in to Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's been a fun afternoon. Still plenty to come. A few baseball games that have yet to start that we will preview here momentarily, but some updates from around the games currently going on. We mentioned the Rays and Orioles. It's been a beat down at Camden Yards. 11-1, Tampa Bay on top of Baltimore right now. In-game total 13.5. If you believe in the Orioles, Will, 63-1 on that money line. That's where the number is there. I actually think over 13.5 may be in play. We have to score 3 more runs? Yeah, we're at 12. No, 2 more runs. That feels a little bit low based on the way things have gone, and also the types of bullpen arms that could be playing. We could be a position player away, you know, from pitching.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You might be trotting out a backup shortstop throwing 62 miles an hour, which sometimes those guys go 1, 2, 3 when you try to get ahead of these angles, and it frustrates you to no end. But that's not a bad angle to look at.
It's a tough day at Camden Yards. Have you been to Camden Yards? Have you done the trek?
I have not been to Camden Yards.
Oh. You know what's funny is I've been to a lot of Yankee games at Camden Yards because it was always cheaper for people to go down there than like go to a Yankee Stadium. I have to tell you, I love that stadium, but two, when the Yankees are in Baltimore, it is basically Yankee Stadium South.
Yeah.
It's packed.
When the Red Sox were good, same thing. People were, I remember, a bunch of Red Sox fans would just get in a car and, you know, same thought process where, hey, I don't want to pay Fenway seats. I can watch the Red Sox and pay less to do it. When is the last Major League Baseball game you went to? Because I went to one last night. When was the last one you went to?
I went to an Orioles game about a year ago. It was Orioles Yankees. Okay. I went to Orioles Yankees a year ago at Camden Yards when I was visiting my buddy in D.C.
Okay.
Yeah.
Takeaway last night, I go to, you know, one or two a year. I guess maybe we were closer last year. I was just taken aback by how big the players are. I don't think TV does it justice. Like seeing DJ, we went to the Yankees A's game, DJ LeMahieu up close, like Stanton's a monster. You look at LeMahieu, he's huge. He's a monster of a guy. And like, he can't hit the ball out of the infield. He doesn't hit for any power, which is strange. But Kurtz, the first baseman for the A's, is huge. I don't think TV does justice to just how huge these guys are.
Yeah, I think TV doesn't do justice to how quick everything happens either. Like if you sit in the infield and you sit low and the ball makes a whizzing noise and all of a sudden it's in someone's hands, next thing you know, they're up and throwing.
Yes.
You're like, hold on. it's not just athletic skills. There's like a, their eyesight must be better than everyone else's to be able to pick up the ball and know exactly where it's going and all that. There's an element of going to sports live that you just don't get. Now, I mean, what everyone says, hockey's the sport that when you go live, you go, I can't believe this happens the way it happens. It blows your freaking mind. I do have to get to more ballparks, though. There's a lot I haven't hit. Like, I need to go to Petco. I need to go to Oracle up in San Francisco. And I need to go to Pittsburgh, where right now the New York Mets trail the Pirates 3-1. Currently, the in-game total in the second inning with a 3-1 game is 12.5, Will. 12.5, and I believe the Pirates currently have the bases loaded. You said it. You don't want to bet on Blackburn. He was minus 144 when this game closed. Bailey Falter, he's pitched well this year, but he's still Bailey Falter, which is always the problem in backing him. You're just waiting for him to fall apart. But look at the Pirates. Punchy out of the gate against Paul Blackburn, and that rain delay may have helped them because now they're going to face a Mets bullpen the rest of the way with Jose Butto on the bump.
I didn't see the particulars here. I'm trying to pull up, you know, what happened when. Did the pitchers come back after the delay, or was it a scenario where Blackburn left with like a run in and men on, and then Butto finished the inning and allowed those runs? How did it play out? Because that was a pretty long delay. I can't imagine Blackburn or Falter came back in that game, right?
Yeah, it was probably, what, like an hour-long delay? I don't believe, based on what I'm seeing, that...
That's usually the cutoff point, by the way. Usually anything an hour later, they're not going to bring the guy back. Especially Blackburn's had a lot of injuries. So anything an hour plus, that's usually a wrap.
Blackburn came out. Blackburn came out, and he allowed the runs, it looks like. Because the Mets were up 1-0 at that point in time. And he allowed 3 earned runs. So Blackburn did try to come back out, it looks like. Interesting. Yeah, interesting move there.
I'm surprised by that.
Well, I mentioned Oracle Park's place that I need to go. That's the home of the Giants. The Giants are down 1-0 in Chicago to the White Sox in the bottom of the ninth. How about the gem from Adrian Hauser and the White Sox? They have a lot of random veterans on this team, Chicago. Not a lot. They have a couple of random veterans, I should say. And maybe most notably is Adrian Hauser, who's probably going to get dealt to a contender to be a swingman for a playoff push.
And he can help a team because he is one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball this year. He has really had a good season. Maybe the Mets pitching lab where he was last year, maybe it's just taken a year to kick in because he's been very effective. This is one we didn't get to before the game. This is one I like, though. Getting them plus a half a run in the first five in a game where runs could be a premium. And runs are at a premium. 1-0 in the ninth, one out away here from the White Sox getting away. The Giants can't hit. I mean, the trade for Devers was good. I like that move, but there's just not a lot of offense around Devers. And this is a team that is probably, I don't think anyone's really going to threaten the Dodgers for the West, but I don't know. I guess once you get in, you got Webb, you get Robbie Ray, and anything can happen. So maybe that's the way they approach it. But this is a team that is starving for some offense here.
Yeah, Hauser goes 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, no earned, 5 strikeouts, 88 pitches. His ERA is now 1.90 on the season. Wow. The thing I like about Hauser is while he isn't a power pitcher, doesn't strike out a ton of guys, he's able to avoid disastrous innings for the most part while still pitching to some contact. He'll get strikeouts, but he's not a power pitcher. He's not averaging a K an inning. And then for San Francisco, I'm with you. I'm not into this team. It feels like there's been a couple different directions in the way the roster is being put together, and there isn't a uniform way they're doing it. I give them credit for the Devers trade because if you don't have to give up much and you can get that back, you do it every single time. But Adames isn't hitting. Chapman's been hurt. You can't rely on – I love Wilmer Flores, but you can't rely on some of these guys that got off to good starts to continue that when they have a track record of not being who they were early to start this season. And the pitching's fine. Like, Logan Webb's an ace, but, like, Robbie Ray is up and down at times. You never know when he's going to get hurt again. He had a good day today. Yeah. He's been mostly good this year, I should be fair. Verlander's an old man. I don't really know what to make of San Francisco. I think there's other teams in the NL I would look to buy in on before I'd go San Francisco, Will. Some other scores today. Well, we're idiots. We thought Cardinals-Guardians first five under was the play. It's the eighth, and it's 8-6. Cardinals lead the Guardians. So a lot of runs being scored in that one where, look, St. Louis is a team no one really had high expectations for. I think we've been on oil marmol fire watch for the last few seasons. But they're 45-38 right now. They're up two, top of the eight, two outs. And I'm looking, and Brendan Donovan continues to rake. Hitting 302. He homered today. One for two, two ribbies, two runs scored. This is a really solid St. Louis team, but again, another team, do they have the pitching to compete with the elites in the National League?
No, pitching's all smoke and mirrors. I don't buy it. Pallante and Michaelis, I don't think that's big time pitching. I can't tell who it was, but the Reds have dominated this game with Abbott all day. And this is an example when you like the starting pitching advantage, you're probably better off betting the first five because Abbott leaves in a 4-3 Cincinnati lead is now a 6-4 deficit, a long three-run homer here. That's a lefty, so I'm not sure.
It was
Could you tell who hit that? I'm not.
Cronenworth hit a homer in the sixth. Yep, it was Cronenworth, his seventh of the year. Luis Arraez hit a home run in this one, which is never a good sign when he's going yard. Although it was fourth of the season. And you're right, Abbott goes five innings, seven hits, one earned, four strikeouts. And he leaves with a lead. And then Barlow allows two earned, and Richardson allows three earned. And just like that, the Padres are up 6-4. Checking out the market right now over at DraftKings. And it's San Diego minus 478 in the seventh inning, up 6-4. Reds plus 322. And that in-game total is 12.5. Again, another spot I'd look to the over. Reds have been rebuilding that bullpen for like 5 years. I don't trust their bullpen arms. They could potentially allow more. I think because of that, I'd lean over 12.5.
Well, you should probably start taking some of these leans and making them bets because you're lean so far. I think you gave out a couple totals that you would have liked in the Arizona-Miami game. We're at 7-6 there, so those look good. You've had a good feeling for that. But yeah, Abbott doesn't give him much length today. Now San Diego has pulled ahead of this game.
Yeah, and speaking of the big lean pre-flop was the Royals plus 135. They're up 9-1 on the Dodgers in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm going to regret.
Can you still get that plus 135 or no?
I'd probably get like 13-1 on the Dodgers. Actually, no, it's 85-1 on the Dodgers.
Yes.
Hey, do you want to
bet? Run deficit in the eighth inning is tough.
Do you want to bet smarter this football season? Well, VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st, and early access means a better shot at spotting value in future markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special, just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at the early bird price. You'll be the first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our experts, hosts, and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and full access to VSiN.com's analytics tools and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. More reaction to the baseball card and official plays on the games yet to start next on Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, Will Hill with you for another half hour. Then our guy Scott Seidenberg will be in the big chair, the power chair. It was a big debate, Mike and the Mad Dog, who gets to sit in the power chair. Scott will be by his lonesome, so he is in the power chair. And he'll take you through the rest of the action all afternoon long as Live Bet Saturday continues. We've got a big UFC night. We previewed earlier with RJ Clifford. You want to go check out that interview and conversation. The VSiN Watch app has it available to you. And, of course, you can go back, download wherever you get your podcasts. Will, baseball's been awesome today. We've had some ups and downs. We've had our moments. But I want to circle back on something we mentioned earlier on the show, or I mentioned earlier. Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando, Benicio Del Toro, mm-hmm. Salma Hayek, Christoph Waltz, and Melanie Griffith. What do those people have in common with me?
They didn't turn down that acting school. That wouldn't be in common. That would be a difference, I guess.
Well, no, we all got into the Stella Adler School of Acting. They just decided to pursue it, and they live the life that they live, and I'm sitting with you on a Saturday afternoon. So we all make decisions.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're talking, you could be talking Diamondbacks Marlins here with me, or you could be hanging out on a beach with Salma Hayek. I think Marlins Diamondbacks is the way to go.
How about Mariners Rangers? That one, 2-2, middle of the eighth right now. Texas about to get their at-bat in the eighth inning. Right now, Seattle plus 132, Texas minus 173, and that total's 5.5. Again, we like the under at what, 7.5, 6.5, couple innings ago. I still like under 5.5. It feels like if we're going to get a run here, right? Someone has to win, but I don't think we're getting more than one. We're going to get a run and that's it. Ball game over. And with Texas favored minus 173, if it's a walk-off, this thing ends with them scoring that final run. So I like under 5.5 still in Mariners and Rangers.
What inning is this? I'm flipping around here. I got a million games on here. Middle of the eighth. The thing that would concern me is once you get to extras, you get the ghost runner, then you're in a lot of trouble because that would be the concern. So
But these two offenses are so bad. Will, the offenses are both so bad. I'm not sure they're capable of driving in those runs.
The ghost runner, you mean? But the problem is eventually it's going to so I get what you're saying. The offenses are bad, but if one of them doesn't score and the other doesn't score, then you get another chance. It's just that ghost runner, man. The extras really has kept me off of full game unders. I've gotten burned too many times where I under 8.5, under 9 in the game that was 1-0 in the seventh, and it loses because it goes to extras and they just trade punches 2-2, 3-3, and then all of a sudden somebody puts up a monster number and you're in a lot of trouble. So, yeah, bottom of the eighth now, Texas coming to bat. The extra inning possibility here would scare me off.
Let's file this one away for next time. The Brewers beat the Rockies 5-0, right? Pretty obvious as the Rockies were plus 222 and the Brewers were minus $3. Game stays under the total. But Quinn Priester was pitching for Milwaukee. 7 innings, 11 strikeouts, right? We're always looking for opportunities to fade these really bad teams. And sometimes you can't do it when it comes to just laying the money line, because who wants to lay $3 with the Brewers? If you wanted to lay a run and a half, you're probably still laying a pretty hefty price. In this instance, maybe Colorado, when they're on the road and they're facing a guy who's solid with strikeouts, you could probably get a couple more out of them. I'd start looking at strikeout props with pitchers taking on Colorado when the Rockies are outside of Denver.
Not a bad idea. They strike out a ton, but they are, that is accounted for a lot of times in the line. Their numbers are very, very high, the opposing pitchers against the Rockies. So the books are kind of onto that. Obviously, it is a good strategy. It's just, the number matters. So something to keep a look at. But I look at a lot of these K props and, they really jack up. They really inflate the K props when these teams face the Rockies, regardless of where it is.
And another lesson to be learned in that one, which is just sometimes with these baseball player props, you can have a decent read, but you pick the wrong bet. I had Bryce Terang to score a run at plus 104. Well, he would have cleared his total base prop, and he would have cleared his hits, runs, and RBI prop. The only one he didn't clear was the run scoring prop. Terang goes 3-for-4 with 2 RBI. And it's just dude, I thought he'd have a good day, but I thought runs was the way to go. It turns out it was driving in the runs and getting the hits and the total bases. That was the direction to go when it came to Bryce Terang. I always have, it's almost like I should just start betting all of them. Bet total bases, bet hits, runs, and RBI, and hope you hit both, because I can't differentiate, it seems, from time to time.
If your handicap, if your philosophy and your takeaway handicapping a certain player, a certain game leads you to one direction, which is, this guy's going to have a good game offensively and there's multiple ways to play it, I don't think it's a bad idea to diversify. Now, you got to be careful with your units because you're just starting to spread a unit around every single thing that's possible. You can end up with, overbetting your bankroll for sure. But certainly, not a bad idea to diversify just so. If nothing else, you don't have that regret of I had the right angle, I just picked the wrong market, and then you get up being frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those deals where it's all right, cool, I had a good read, but I just didn't execute properly. With the baseball hitter props, it's hard. And right now, I'd say a lot of the pitching props have been sharper than they were earlier in the year. Beginning of the season, pitchers have an edge over the hitters, and I was able to cash a ton of plus prices. It's also another problem. I chased too many plus prices with the batter props, but early in the year, I was able to cash a lot of strikeout props, and now things have evened out some. The ball's flying a little bit differently. I am not getting those strikeout bets when I'm usually missing by the hook. So because of that, I have to regroup and figure out how to approach those markets going forward, Will.
A game we were mentioning earlier, Rays Orioles in terms of a live total, where a position player could be entering. So maybe you look at it over a position player did come in. He's throwing 40 miles an hour. He's gotten double plays in back-to-back innings and the Rays have not scored. So
dude,
that's another example, right? Process, just get the wrong result. And it's amazing how many times it happens where these guys just come in lobbing the ball over the plate. And first just somehow, the hitters hit the ball right at somebody. They just the timing is off. They don't score as much as you think here. That's a tough one. If you anticipated the position player coming in, you bet the over, and you got what you wanted, but you didn't get what you wanted.
It feels like there's been a concerted effort like the last few years when it comes to pitchers when they end up pitching, Will. Like back when we were younger, they'd at least throw like BP speed. They'd throw like 70,
yes.
Right?
Now I think they make a joke out of it, yes.
I think they're intentionally throwing 45, 50 miles an hour because those guys don't know how to square that up anymore. They're not built for that. Everything they do is so reactionary to the motion, and when the ball's coming in, it's a split-second reaction twist. I think they intentionally now, if a position player comes in, they go, nope, I'm going to give him something he's not used to seeing. We'll go 45 miles an hour there.
It's that, and plus, if you're throwing it as hard as you possibly can and getting it up to whatever, 70, 75, 80, that's dangerous because you might get hit with a comebacker, where if you throw that ball 40, 50, you just lob it up there and you put yourself in position to brace for the line drive. That might be an aspect too. That's probably not a bad idea if these pitchers think of it. What was it? There was a game earlier in the season. Position player was throwing it to, I think he was pitching to Ohtani. He was basically just backtracking as soon as the ball left his hand. It was kind of funny.
Hey, real quick, we'll hit on the baseball card in the next segment, but our NFL betting guide here at VSiN does come out on Tuesday. I started diving into some of the futures that I want to bet on, and I had a common theme. And I'm not going to give you exactly what I wrote up in the betting guide, the bet there, but I would tell you I'm probably going to end up with two, if not three, bets when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Am I crazy for believing in Liam Cohen getting handed Trevor Lawrence in year one, Will? Where Trevor Lawrence, if we're going to be fair and judge him, he has not been properly coached up. In comes Cohen, a McVay disciple who led Baker Mayfield, who is not as talented as Trevor Lawrence, to career highs in yards and percentage and touchdowns and limited the turnovers, and they made the playoffs. Has a first-year head coach, other than the last two, ever been handed a talented quarterback the quality of Trevor Lawrence?
Probably. I don't think Lawrence is any good. How many times is it going to be the coach's fault before we blame the player? This kid was built as the next Peyton Manning, generational. He's going to change your franchise. He stinks. He's not any good. We would have seen it by now. What is this, year five, year six? I'm over Trevor Lawrence. He's not that good. He was a lot of hype. Jacksonville made a huge mistake giving him that contract extension. Maybe he'll play better this year. Maybe he got a good bet with Cohen. I am not a Lawrence guy, though.
To answer my own question, Urban Meyer in his first year received Trevor Lawrence, and Doug Peterson in his first year in Jacksonville received
Peterson
Trevor
Lawrence. Peterson won a Super Bowl, though. I mean, at some point, it's got to be the player. Like, what are we going to be in as fifth coach? Oh, this guy's the right guy. He's just not that good.
I agree there is some of it on Lawrence, but at the same time, Baker Mayfield was like this close to being out of football, or at least like a career backup, and Liam Cohen turned him into something, which blew my mind. If he did that with Baker, I think with Travis Hunter in there now, Brian Thomas is a legit number one. I think they've got an opportunity to be interesting in a very bad division. I think that division stinks.
You got the right thought process. I agree with that. That's a division where if you don't believe in Houston for whatever reason, I mean, who's coming up with the 8-9 wins to get in? That's very. And look, if Stroud gets hurt, I mean, that opens it up even more. So I agree with that thinking. I'm just not a Lawrence guy.
There's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called Xcuta, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. Xcuta is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own Xcuta auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, player, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3:06-9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcuta.com and mention VSiN. xcuta.com, the future of future wagering.
Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network. He's Will Hill. I'm Dustin Swedelson. It's been a fun afternoon as we've been all over Major League Baseball. Our Seattle Mariners, man, we laid $1.20 with them. They had a leadoff runner on, and they were unable to plate Randy Arozarena. So with that, Seattle and Texas head to the bottom of the ninth inning, tied up at twos. Currently, that in-game number has the total at 5.5, Will. I still think under is the move, even with the extra innings aspect. I just don't trust these offenses. And in Kansas City, the Dodgers down big have plated a couple runs. It's now 9-4, two outs in the ninth. I think they have the bases loaded. I'm trying to see after this replay is off. I do believe they have the bases loaded. Yeah, 9-4, two on, two out. And currently 43-1 in the market. They were 100-1 about a minute ago before they plated a couple runs. Do the Dodgers have some crazy magic to come back five down by two or with down to two outs in the ninth inning?
Probably not. I mean, you still need a couple more base runners just to bring the tying run to the plate here. So,
well, they just plated one. One run will score. It is 9-5. Okay. So the tying run is in the on deck circle.
On deck, yeah.
Wow. Things have gotten juicy here for this Kansas City bullpen. We'll keep you updated if the Dodgers are able to do something. It's Matt Brash out for the bottom of the ninth for Seattle. 2-2 game. Seattle wants to take it to extras. The Rangers looking to end this thing right now with 5-6-7 up in the lineup. Jonah Heim at the plate. And Mets and Pirates currently going at it right now in the fourth inning. Top of the fourth, 3-1. Pittsburgh leads New York. Still only plus $1.26 on the Mets. I don't know, it feels a little bit short. Oh, that's why there was a crazy play at third base. Well, you got to see what just happened.
I'm watching it.
Third baseman charges a grounder, misses it, rolls the short to the shortstop who was covering third, who's able to tag Brett Beatty sliding into third base. And I do believe Brett Beatty is out at third. I want to see the replay, but I don't think he's safe.
What did they call him on the field? They called him out, right?
They called him out. Let's see. Beatty sliding into third, tries to get out of the way of the ball. I think there was a tag. Yeah, I think he's out. I think he's out.
Yeah, they're not challenging.
Yeah.
I've said this before doing these shows. Sometimes you always hear, you know, you go to a baseball game, you'll see something you've never seen before. I think that's an exaggeration, but it's amazing. If you watch enough baseball, it doesn't matter how many games you've seen, you will see something. You will see a play that you've never seen before. I've never, in all the baseball I've watched, seen it, that exact play where a slow roller towards third goes under the third baseman's glove, but right to the shortstop who tags a run. I mean, I've never seen that. I know I've never seen it.
And Ke'Bryan Hayes, who's like a real ball. Ke'Bryan Hayes is a really good defensive third baseman, is the one who makes the error. And we have a final score in Kansas City. The Royals finish the job 9-5. They beat the Dodgers. A ground out ends it. And Kansas City with a nice little win at plus $1.35 with Lugo on the hill today, rocking the baby blue unis. And they even that series up with the Dodgers there. So the rubber game will be manana in KC.
Good call on that one, by the way. That was a nice cash for you. How much did you win on that?
$5,000. No.
There you go.
No, I didn't win anything. I didn't bet that one, remember? That was the lean.
I'm giving you a hard time.
Oh, that was the lean. Yeah. By the way,
frustrating.
I should have went full game on the Marlins instead of first five plus a half run. We're tied up at sevens in the ninth. By the way, that over.
We called the live over, though.
Yeah, I said the live over a couple times tonight, but I'm sweating out a Lindor prop. I need a hit here or a run, and that would really help me. This is a little blooper. Get down, get down, get down. It's foul. But we're on over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI, and he is at 2 right now. So, I mean, I'll take a run or a ribby, whatever happens, even if he doesn't get on base. By the way, are you with me? When you say RBI, you don't say RBIs. You say RBI because there's already an S assumed in runs batted in.
RBI, the way you say it, is the correct way to say it for the reason you just stated. But I started saying RBIs whenever I started, you know, talking about baseball when at whatever age, and it just haven't kicked. And you know what? If somebody wants to take me to court, somebody thinks I'm a bad person, somebody has an objection with it, they are correct, but I just don't think I'm going to change. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right saying it. Oh my gosh. Did you see that? He had 7 RBI last night.
It feels weird.
It hits the ear wrong.
Because I guess the belief now is that the RBI is its own entity. Like the abbreviation is irrelevant now. You're thinking about the amount of RBIs. I understand that. All right. Well, speaking of RBIs, we're hoping for some runs in some of these games that have yet to start tonight. So I want to get your thoughts, Will, about first off, Braves and the Phillies. Jesus Luzardo plus $1.39 at the Braves and Spencer Schwellenbach, minus 170, total 7.5. Philly won on Friday 13-0, snapping a three-game skid. Atlanta's currently on a three-game losing streak. Lizardo's numbers aren't what they seem. He was left in that one game for against Milwaukee and allowed 12 earned runs, and I didn't understand what was going on. The start right after allowed 8 earned against Toronto, but he's coming off 6 2/3 shutout innings against the Mets. Last faced the Braves on April 10th, 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts, and Schwellenbach's been awesome. 6-4, 3.21 ERA, 96 strikeouts in 103 2/3 innings. He faced Philly also on April 10th, 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned, 5 strikeouts for him. I believe this is a true coin flip game, Will. And when it's a coin flip game and I can get $1.30 on one of the teams where I trust Philly more as a whole this season, I'm just going to take a flyer on +130 on Philadelphia. You can get +139 at DraftKings right now. Would you do anything with Lizardo and Schwellenbach?
You know what I'm going to bet. I thought you were going to bet it. Why don't you just tell the audience what I like, even though I didn't tell you? We've been doing these
first
shows
five Philly plus a half run.
Yeah. Yep. Low total. Even matchup. I will take that first five plus a half a run. And I think these teams, so you said these pitchers squared off April 10th. I believe I had the same bet, yeah. And I believe it won on a push. I think it was 0-0 after five. If I can go back and look, but I remember it might have been 1-1 after five. I believe it was the same thing, and it's just the same philosophy. So even teams, good pitching matchup, low total. I'll take that half a run in the first five. I think it's ultra valuable. And Atlanta, man, they just, I know this doesn't break your heart as a Met fan. Every time you think they're about to turn a corner, you think they're putting the foot on the gas, they just start to lose speed. And that's the problem when you build a deficit, a hole for yourself where you're 10 games under. You just you have to play so well where, all right, you win 3 in a row, 4 in a row, 5 out of 6, whatever. You hit these 2 out of 3, it's just such a setback. You have so much ground to make up. Every time you think they're about to rev the engine, they're about to get going. We know the talent's there. They just can't quite get up to full speed where they need to.
They're 7.5 back in the wild card. I wouldn't fault anyone for wanting to believe in taking a big plus price on them to make the playoffs. They're probably not winning the division, but make the playoffs, I think, is absolutely something, if you can get a good number, that I would look at.
What number would you need?
I want to know what number it is, actually. Now that I say it out loud, is it like 9-1?
Probably not. Every time I look, it's shorter than what I want, so I have
no. It's +450. It's +450.
Exactly.
That's a little bit. Enough. Yeah, I want like 7.5, 8, 9 to 1.
Yeah. A lot of games to make up.
It's a lot, and there's a lot of teams in front of them that are also playing better baseball. They still haven't hit that run where they go like 10-2. Right. We're still waiting for that. And I don't know when it comes, especially with Chris Sale injured right now. That plays a role in this as well. Hey, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card, and then First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN then completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value, bringing it to a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Real quick, Cubs and Astros coming up here in a little bit, Will. Colin Ray on the hill for Chicago. McCullers taking it for Houston. Thinking about doing anything in that game where it's Chicago -108, 112 on Houston, totals 8.5.
Yeah, I would take the over 8.5. If anything, that 8.5 is a key number, or if it's 4-4, you know what? It can't end 4-4. Somebody's got to score a ninth run. That's a key number in totals. Ray's not great. He's pitched okay, but he's not great. You know, McCullers is okay as well. So two pretty good offenses. Astros have hit better at home. And I just like the key number of 8.5. So it'll be I'll call it a play on the over 8.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on the over there as well. Colin Ray coming off 7 earned runs against Seattle, who's not a good offensive team. McCullers, a 4.91 ERA over 7 starts, 9.19 at home and 4. He's clearly still getting the rust off. And the Chicago, I don't love the Cubs long term because of the pitching, but the offense is legit. Suzuki, Tucker, and Happ have all have 3 homers over their last 7 games, and Nico Horner is hitting .375 over the last 7 contests. So I think Chicago's capable of scoring a ton of runs, and I expect Colin Ray to get mashed by Houston. So we'll go over as well, 8.5. Show flew by, man. That was a lot of fun. Coming up next, though, don't go anywhere. Scott Seidenberg is going to take you through all of the late afternoon action, get you ready for the UFC fights, and of course, kick off your Sunday with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line, 10 a.m. Eastern with Tim Murray, followed by Ready, Set, Bet at 1 p.m. For Will, I'm Dustin. We'll see you next time.